Good morning, people. How y'all doing? Good. You know, I think that everything I wanted to say has just about been said, but I'm going to go ahead and talk anyway, so you're not going to get away from me. Got a question for you. Why did God forgive you? Yes, that's one reason. We're going to get into something a little bit different. As in our daily readings this week, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 9 how David searched out the remaining household of Saul so that for Saul's son's sake, Jonathan, he, the king, could bless the family of the one who had formerly been his enemy. We've read over the past few weeks about David and his life and whose heart was for the Lord. And like Ian said last week, David's one desire was to dwell in the house of God, to see God's beauty, and to be able to inquire in his temple. But he was also a man of flesh, wasn't he? And he did some dumb things. And he sinned in the eyes of the Lord. Why did God forgive him? We read of several other people throughout the Bible who also had a heart for God, but did stupid things. And they sinned in the eyes of the Lord. Adam and Eve, eating that forbidden fruit. Noah, getting drunk and letting his son see his nakedness. Abraham, having a child of the flesh instead of waiting for the son of promise. Moses, killing an Egyptian. But God forgave them. Why? There's Samson. He was anointed by God as a judge in the land, and he was seduced by Delilah, and he lost his position, his strength, his freedom, and his sight. But yet God forgave him. Why? All the way through, we see time after time people being human and weak and sinful and selfish, but yet God forgives them. Why? Why? And how about us today? Do we always get it right? Do we never sin? Even if our hearts are for God? No, like Sabina said a few weeks ago, sometimes we stumble around like we do live in the darkness, and we make one blunder after another, but we always come back to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness, and God forgives us. Why? Is it just because it's in his nature? After all, he is a loving and forgiving God, isn't he? A long time ago, the Lord showed me that a perfect lover protects the loved one, even from himself. Now that's pretty powerful. And this is what God says about himself in Isaiah 48. This is from the Message Bible. But out of the sheer goodness of my heart, because of who I am, I keep a tight rein on my anger, and I hold my temper, and I don't wash my hands of you. God is a merciful and gracious God. He is slow to anger, and he is abounding in steadfast love. And there's lots of verses all throughout the Bible that tells us. Psalm 136 alone has 26 verses declaring that his mercy endures forever. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. But what if there's another reason? What if there was also a completely different motivation behind God's forgiveness? Not just because of who he is. Remember, God doesn't do anything without there being a purpose for it. Nothing is ever a single-use endeavor for the Lord. Not only does he forgive us because of that's who he is, but he also forgives us for this reason. And this is from John 14 out of the Passion Translation. So when that day comes, Jesus says, that's the day when we see him again, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. You see, he forgives us so that he can live in us, so that we can become his dwelling place. God forgives us because he wants to become alive inside us. And in Isaiah 59, we see why that forgiveness is necessary. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God cannot dwell in the midst of sin. So he forgives us to make us able to become his dwelling place, his abode, his home, his sanctuary, his tabernacle. He even removes the stink of sin from us so that we are a sweet fragrance to him. He removes sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, how far away is that? If you've got the east over here and the west over here, I mean, even if sin comes this way, then grace goes that way. And you can never get sin and grace together again because it's as far as the east is from the west. He forgives us so that his Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit can work in us and through us. That's why he forgives us. Remember the anointing? The life flow of Christ comes to do what? Comes to do miracles. In Luke 4, we see Jesus saying this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed." It doesn't stop just because he wants to live there. There is a because there. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to" what? "Preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And in John 14, Jesus says, "Listen, I'm telling you something now. I'm telling it to you truthfully here. I say to you that he who believes on me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father." And remember in Romans, it tells us that Jesus is always at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Always. God forgives us for this purpose so that he can live in us, use us, and bless us, and make us a blessing to others. Look at how David sought out Saul's grandson to bless him. Because the Lord was in his heart, and because David had a heart for God, and he cried out for forgiveness when it was needed. And because forgiveness is part of the anointing, it flows outward. We are forgiven so that we can forgive. And we forgive so we can be forgiven. And we see this in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus was teaching us how to pray. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses." So forgiveness is a circular thing. We forgive, we are forgiven. We forgive and we are forgiven. We are forgiven so we can become channels of blessing to others. We are forgiven so that God can dwell in us. Remember, I spoke a while back on becoming the sanctuary of God? That's what we become when God forgives us. Most of the time, people see God, until they're really born again and really growing, they see him as a judge. Oh, God's going to get you for that. God, you know. But that's not all that he is. He says in Genesis 22 that in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. Our seed, in this case, is anyone we touch with the good news. When God forgives us, he once again becomes a blessing and multiplying God and not just a judge. He doesn't remember our sin. Hallelujah. He doesn't count our iniquities against us. Those were all laid on Jesus, God himself in the flesh on the cross. This makes us the righteousness of God in Christ. Not just so that we are clean and going to heaven, but so that he can take up residence in us and perform the miracles that he did when he was in the form of Jesus on the earth. So like David seeking after the descendants of Saul to bless them because he had forgiven the wickedness of the former king, God forgives us to be able to bless even our enemies. Because of God's forgiveness towards David and David's heart of forgiveness towards Saul, he was able to give a seat at the king's table to Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, and give him back all the lands of Saul, and to provide a lifelong employment to Ziba and all his sons, who was the servant of Saul. And how like God that is. We have a seat in the heavenly realms. We have a table prepared for us in the very face of our enemies. Every place we put our feet is an inheritance for us. And even though we once served other gods, we now have a lifelong job to do for the kingdom of Almighty Jehovah. I found this in one devotional. The reason God forgave you is so that he could put his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power in you and on you. If he tried to put that into our unforgiven state, it would destroy us. Remember new wine and old wineskins? That new wine would come in and blow the whole thing apart. That's why God forgives us. Are you forgiven? Who's forgiven? Yes. Then you have what Isaiah says, the Spirit of God, the Master, is on you because God has anointed you. He sent you to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce freedom to all captives, pardon to all prisoners. God sent you to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion. And who's Zion? That's the whole church. To give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of gloom and doom, a praising heart instead of a lazy or languid spirit. We can now call them oaks of righteousness. They're planted by God to display his glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins of their lives, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities and take the rubble that was left behind and make a new place where God can dwell. Are you forgiven? Well, what miracle do you need? What power of the enemy do you need to have brought down? What burden are you carrying that needs to be lifted? What sorrow do you need comforting for? What prison of doubt are you held captive in that you need release from? What bruising of your soul needs healing? What good news do you need to hear? Well, let me tell you this. You are forgiven so that the anointing of Christ can fulfill all these things. You are forgiven because God is a forgiving God. You are forgiven like David forgave Saul and blessed his descendants. You are forgiven so you can take this message out to the multitudes who need to know that they too are forgiven, so that they can carry that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of the anointing for themselves and everyone that they touch. We are not forgiven just to sit in this very warm hall and bless each other. We are forgiven to carry God out to the ones who need to hear this good news. We are forgiven to bring that burden-removing power to those who are bowed down under all the things that the world can throw at them. Who do you know that's at the end of their rope, who are ready to throw in the towel? To give up. You are forgiven to bring back hope to the hopeless. There's a special little thing that goes around Facebook every once in a while that I see, and I think it is so special. It says, I was ready to throw in the towel, and I threw in the towel. God threw it back at me and says, wipe your face, we're almost done. Who do you know that's brokenhearted? You are forgiven so that you can bring comfort to them because the Comforter lives in you. Who do you know that is heavy of heart? You are forgiven to be able to clothe them with a garment of praise because of the song of praise that you carry for the God that dwells in you. Who do you know that is captive to the things of the world or the flesh? You are forgiven to be able to proclaim liberty and their deliverance. You are forgiven so God can release in you the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of the anointing over the ones you know. I once heard a preacher describe the that yoke-destroying power, and he likened it to the power of oxidation that causes rust on metal. Now, metals are very strong and hard substances, but when rust gets into it, it erodes it, and finally it crumbles away to dust. That's what the anointing does to ungodly yokes, the yokes that keep people all bound up in sin. It destroys those yokes and turns them to dust. That's what the anointing is for. And this is what David did. He removed the burdens of Mephibosheth, destroyed the yoke of enmity that was between his house and Saul's house, and gave his friend's son back his own rich inheritance. Why does God forgive us? So he can be in us to reach out to the ones who so desperately need him and his power. This is why God forgives us. It's not just fire insurance to keep us out of hell. It's not just because of who he is. The deeper significance is that forgiveness is for everybody, and we're the ones who can tell them about it. He forgives us so he can reproduce in us the same qualities, the same power, the same love and anointing that were resident in Jesus when he walked on the earth. He forgives us so that we can house his spirit. Just like David forgave Saul so that he could bring Mephibosheth back to his right standing as a significant person in the king's household, so God forgives us so that we have right standing as a significant person in his household. And he gives us the mandate to tell others that they too can have right standing in the household of God. Why does God forgive you? What significant place do you have? Are you walking in that mandate? If not, where do you start? Well, like David, you go back to the beginning. He sought out the remnants of the household of his former enemy to bless them. Are there people in your lives who've rejected you? Pray for them. Ask God how you can bring the anointing into their lives. You make declarations of God's word over their situations. You tell the truth of God to the enemy of their souls. And if the Lord provides divine appointments for you, then love them in person, like Florence did with her friends. Maybe you've never been rejected. Well, in that case, praise God. That's wonderful. But begin to act like God has forgiven you. Begin to act like God dwells in you because of that forgiveness. Even if you don't feel like God is alive and active in your life, you act on the truth. Feelings will follow. Remember, they're merely the caboose on the train, the last car in line. They're not the engine. Your feelings are not what drives your life. The truth is what drives your life. Why has God forgiven you? What are you supposed to do with that forgiveness? During this next 40 days of fasting and prayer, take time to step up and not just sit back and glorify God because you are forgiven. It's time to get active in that forgiven, God-indwelling, anointed, significant position. You matter to God because he has forgiven you. Because he has forgiven you, he lives in you. You matter to God because there are people who need to hear him that only you can reach. Use this time of fasting and prayer to pray for the church, for your friends and your relatives, and yes, even your enemies. Who else but King David could have restored Mephibosheth to his rightful place? Who else but King David could have given him back the lands of Saul? Who else but King David could have set Ziba and his family up for life? Nobody. Nobody could have done that but David. But do you think any of that could have happened if God had not forgiven David of his many transgressions? If God had not been with David? If God had not anointed David? No, I don't think it could have happened. Do you? David prayed in Psalm 51, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me. It's because David prayed like this numerous times, and he received the forgiveness of God, that the Lord was able to use him, not only in war, but also in peace. Not only as king and ruler over the land, but also as a true friend to Jonathan's son. Not only in matters of national interest, but also in intimate relationships. Who needs forgiveness? Oh, we all do. We all do. Yes, we do have a forever forgiveness that is once and overall. But like David, we recognize that we are not perfectly perfect in this lifetime. We do stumble around sometimes and we get things wrong. Let's remember this from 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not to make us sin conscious, but to make us forgiven conscious. Once we have a right spirit within us, God's spirit, then we can be what Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and this is from the Message Bible, and I love this. But, oh, this is so good. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. We are now gone from sinner to forgiven, from outsider to family, from dust of the earth to anointed, miracle-working, burden-removing, yoke-destroying warriors in the kingdom of God. Now, that's who we are. Now take a few minutes and let that sink into your spirits. You are anointed. You are carriers of miracles. You are burden removers. You are yoke destroyers. You are warriors in the armies of the living God, just like David was. The giants of the earthly realms will fall at the feet of his anointed ones. You are forgiven to be able to house the very essence of God with all the love and power and authority that he has. You are forgiven to be able to reproduce the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, and against such there is no law. You are forgiven to be able to receive the gifts of the Spirit. The variety is wonderful, the Bible says. Wise counsel and clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamations, and distinguishing between spirits like Florence did. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. You are forgiven to be able to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven to be able to carry all these things in your own life, as well as forgiving them out to those who need to hear this good news. This is why God forgives us. Now let's get out there. Let's use this time of fasting and prayer to activate the true purpose of forgiveness. Then come back and let us know how and when you're able to speak of his forgiveness and the fruit of it as you practice it this week and throughout the weeks to come. Let us rejoice with you over the people who hear this good news. The forgiveness of God is for everyone. So let's go tell them. Amen.